I'm Bill Littlefield. Wimbledon carries on this weekend. Whether it keeps calm is to be determined. Anyway, that's where we're going to start on this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know. Joining me are WBUR Shira Springer and Mike Pesca. He's the host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist. Welcome back to both of you.
Hello.
Thank you.
Shira, your serve.
Thank you. This week at Wimbledon, former number one ranked tennis player Victoria Azarenka complained about scheduling. Here's the deal. She's the mother of a six-month-old little boy, and she was kept waiting to figure out whether or not she was going to play on Monday. This led to further complaints and criticisms about sexist scheduling at Wimbledon. Men get more matches on the favored show courts. And for me, this is going to be the next battleground, I think, in women's sports. So we've seen this fight over pay equity. I think we're going to see a fight or at least more awareness of the lack of equity when it comes to when they play, where they play, the number of primetime TV slots. Women are going to push for more equality in this arena. We're already seeing it, actually, with the 2024 Olympic bid for LA. They have made gender equity a priority. And basically, they're saying, we're going to pay attention to where women are playing. No longer are they going to be put in secondary arenas that are not on prime Olympic real estate.
I think that Azarenka, just by raising the issue in two ways, advances her cause. One is the obvious. Oh, I hadn't known about that beforehand. Thinking about it, yeah. But then two, I didn't know that Victoria Azarenka is a mom, and then you go online, you see pics of the baby, and you have something else to root for. And oh my God, when that happens with Serena, then there will be a clamor to put her on all the most watched courts.
Regarding the Olympics, I'm not really sure that equality is the goal of the Olympics. I think the goal of the Olympics is corporate profit and the self-aggrandizement of the IOC. But if they can also manage to pursue equality, good on them, I guess.
Well, I'll agree with you. Yes, the Olympics are largely about corporate greed and making money. But I do think there is a problem, and it's sort of, I experienced it when I was covering the Olympics, you know, in Sochi. The women's hockey tournament was largely staged in a much smaller arena, while the men played most of their games in this showcase arena right next door. And what's the message you're sending there? Well, the message is that you don't value women's hockey as much as you value men's hockey.
Interestingly, that's the message that Boston University also sends. Interesting.
Yeah, but I think that if they can make a stand here and create optics that say we value women's sports as much as men's sports, and they should because they're equally worth watching.
One last thing. Let's just be fair to the Olympics. They're also about propping up tin pot dictators. So let's put that out there.
So many things on the Olympic agenda you have to consider these days.
It's complicated. Yeah. I want to stick with the theme of gender in sports. There was a terrific article. Peter Keating wrote it for ESPN, the magazine. The title is, Why Does It Seem Like Nobody Cares About Female Concussions? And his contention is that the group, the most highly publicized group that worries about concussions, the Concussion in Sport group, has kind of left women out of the study. The NCAA appears to be beginning to address the discrepancy, but only beginning. Women are, by all accounts, first of all, more prone to suffer concussions when they play the same sports as men. And also, they recover more slowly. The damage is often worse, and more often their careers are ended by these injuries. I really hope those involved with a Concussion in Sport group read this article and that other people read it, and that it brings about a change that is not only necessary but long overdue.
Well, I know the answer to the question, and it's maybe, well, there is sexism baked into it, but, you know, concussions became this gripping national issue because it was centered on our number one sport, which is football, which very few women play overall. But then in soccer, which is played more by women, women have more concussions. We have to start thinking about it. Who are our guardians? The NCAA, which has this student athlete designation so they won't have to pay long-term health care. I think that the answer needs to be people like us, journalists, amplifying people like Keating, another journalist, and putting it on the agenda for these organizations.
I agree with you, Mike. I think the NFL was the poster game, so to speak. Also, because the NFL has been around so long and because women playing professional sports and women playing sports over a long period of time where they could sustain multiple concussions is something that's relatively new. You don't have sort of the study group of older female athletes. It's not like there are a lot of 65, 70, 75-year-old former female pro athletes where you can study and see if they have CTE.
All right, Mike, I gather you're going to talk about baseball and economic theory.
Yeah, I'll talk about baseball first and then I'll bring in the theory. All-star game. Now it doesn't count. Before, it counted for home field advantage. Whichever league won the All-Star game,
ridiculous.
They got home field advantage in the World Series. Mm-hmm. And this affected play, I'd say not at all, maybe ever so slightly. It really seemed like an exhibition. Let's introduce the principal agent theory. So what principal agent theory says is sometimes the principal, say the owner of a business, wants a certain course of action, but the agent, the person who's in charge of executing that, has a different set of incentives. So a classic example is the movie theater owner wants just a certain amount of popcorn, but the guy giving the popcorn out would rather give more popcorn than less so the customers like him. Here you have the managers. They're the agents of Major League Baseball's wishes, which is to have a competitive All-Star game. But the managers have an entirely different set of incentives. What they want to do is get everyone in the game. They just want to manage things in the least volatile way possible. So we have an economic or political science theory explaining why the All-Star game never really got as contentious as Bud Selig would have wanted it to be.
Shira, I don't know how much of this you've followed or how much economics you studied.
Mike's a very good professor.
By all means, we welcome your comment.
Well, first of all, you know, the whole thing started in 2002 with basically an overreaction to a tie game. You know, that's how we got to this rule change to award home field during the World Series to the winner of the All-Star game. And, you know, this being baseball, not unlike the NCAA and international sports, slow to change. Honestly, though, I'm surprised it took them so long to figure out, you know what? It should go to the team, you know, the pennant-winning team with the better regular season record. I mean, that's the obvious team to have home field advantage in the World Series.
I have to make a confession here. I haven't paid any attention to the All-Star game since Willie Mays was last an All-Star. I just.
So what made you pay attention then, though? Is it just
Willie Mays made me pay attention then?
So we need better stars? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we need better stars. And for me, the All-Star break is a break from baseball. But Mike, I'm going to ask you to wrap this up.
I'll wrap up with a fun Willie Mays All-Star fact.
Excellent.
Willie Mays played for 22 seasons and was an All-Star for 24 of them.
That's right, because there were 2 years where they had two All-Star games. They were running out of money.
That's right.
They were running out of money and thought we better spike the coffers with an additional All-Star game.
Okay, that's not the solution I'm looking for. Not two games in 1 year.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Mike Pesca, host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist, and WBUR Shira Springer, who also contributes to the Boston Globe. Thanks to both of you.